ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Do you love popping on your noise-cancelling headphones around the office? Or perhaps you focus better when you bring your dog to work or use aromatherapy at your desk. Nowadays, there are so many ways to personalise your workspace and work habits. So how do they impact productivity, and how can we navigate the different needs of co-workers and managers? Hello, Lisa Leong here for This Working Life, helping to make your work life better. From pets to pot plants, comfy athleisure wear to noise-cancelling headphones, there have never been more ways to bring a personal touch to your office experience. But what happens when different employees have conflicting approaches? Recently, a This Working Lifer named Rosie sent us her story.
One of my colleagues has an issue with my air purifier in the office when I have a drop of scented oil in it. Last week, I felt really offended when she came to my office room sniffing, and if I can please turn that off. I asked her, "Your office is 5 doors away from mine. Can you still smell it?" And she was like, "Yeah." And I said, "I'm sorry, I have to have it on as it's helping me for nasal congestion." She didn't seem very happy with it and I left my door closed. Am I getting oversensitive about this?
So, how have you personalised your workspace and work habits in the office? And how have your co-workers and managers reacted? You can email thisworkinglife@abc.net.au. Christina Candido is a Professor of Environmental and Sustainable Design at the University of Melbourne. She's been researching Australian workplaces for the last 15 years. Hello, Christina.
Hello.
Rosie's story about her scented air purifier shows that what works for one person in the office may not help another person, right?
Absolutely. That's the old age issue in open plan offices, right? Ever since we started sharing workplaces, we would actually see this type of issues. I think what the pandemic did, however, is just really augmented all these problems, as we call it, the friction between the we versus the me in the workplace, because it's the first time in a generation that open plan offices natives actually managed to have access to their own private offices in the comfort of their homes. So absolutely not surprised that we're going to see an increase in these types of, you know, battlegrounds within the workplace, for sure.
We'll get to me versus we in just a sec, but Rosie was using a scented air purifier for her own nasal congestion. But is there any research actually on aromatherapy and productivity?
There is, of course, a heap of research around linking, you know, the quality of the indoor environmental quality, which is everything that we are exposed to in the workplace, including olfactory comfort, so what we can smell and sense and experience. So what we know is if we expose people to nature-related kind of smells, you can actually have productivity uplifts up to 10%. And that's really coming from like controlled experiments and open plan offices experiments. What I find interesting about this particular case, however, is one, not being judgmental, but she's sick of having an allergic reaction in the workplace. She shouldn't be there. She's working in a space that's making her feel bad, and maybe that's because of the air conditioning, and she's resorting to the aromatherapy to actually be productive work. But her co-worker, of course, 5 doors down, can smell that because of air conditioning. So the point is, when we share the space, every time that you introduce something, which can be noise, which can be the smell, it can be the smell of your food in the cafeteria, you'll experience that. It may be causing, because you're invading that personal space of the person next door, especially if the door does not exist, which is the case of open plan offices.
So are you saying that really the cause of this deep down is something to do more with the way the building's set up rather than these two individuals, which is really just the symptom?
Absolutely. They definitely not the root cause. Two issues in there. The air conditioning of the space should have been able, through the ventilation, to actually address some of the smell that is contaminating the air. The second issue is the organizational side of it. So organizations, our employees, they need to really set the ground rules of what people can do, should not do in the workplace for a variety of conditions. And that's really what I hear here from this particular case.
Okay. You referred to a me versus we clash. Can you go deeper on this?
Yes. So we are sharing spaces, right? What happens? So you want to do a report, you have a deadline, you have 2 hours to write something and you can't cope with any interruptions. You get annoyed, you get frustrated because that's a job that you have to get done. Now, the other person is actually having a teleconferencing, the same deadline, 2 hours, but they actually have to go through all the particulars and they also have to get everything done. This is a me versus we clash, isn't it? Because we as an organization, we have to get a job done at everyday basis. But we as individual workers, we also have our particular tasks that we're engaging on day-to-day basis. How do we address that? We actually need to design spaces that will actually support people well every single part during the day at work in every single different task they have to perform. So and the issue there is people are sitting next door from each other, trying to develop, you know, different work activities that will clash. It doesn't matter what is happening. They will always clash because they are completely different.
And so what is the solution here then? Is it being more explicit about this is the job that I'm trying to get done right now? It's deep work individually, etc.?
Yes. So what the research that we do at the University of Melbourne actually tells us is spaces that are well designed, that will have spaces that will cater for different work tasks, you see uplifts of productivity of up to 20%. And the reason being is if you have to concentrate, you go to one place that supports that. If you actually have to do a work activity that will generate noise and collaborate, you go elsewhere.
So you're moving and therefore the physicality of where you are tells people this is what I'm doing right now rather than you having to create it in the one space.
Absolutely, yes.
There is a me versus we clash, I think, at a systemic level, managers and what management is versus what an individual worker is doing, because the manager actually needs to be talking to people and managing people, right, and interacting. So what do we do about that massive clash that I think is being played out in offices right at the moment?
Managers need to up the game. People, of course, particularly in Australia, are saying no to just going back to the office 9 to 5 every day of the week, which, by the way, was already a completely obsolete way of working before the pandemic. So what managers really need to know is, one, they have to accept that and they have to upskill the game in the way that they manage people from perhaps forgetting about managing, thinking about leading a workforce that will forever be hybrid from what we can gather here, particularly in Australia. In other countries, it can be very different, especially European countries and, of course, in America. But here in Australia, from what we can gather from the research, people will continue to hold on to their hybrid ways of working for as long as they can.
So we asked you on LinkedIn for ways you've personalised your work habits in the office, and David recorded this for us.
I'm a market researcher and I used to work in a really busy media agency office. I often had people coming up to my desk to ask questions, but my day-to-day work also usually required a lot of time to concentrate and think. So I bought some large over-the-head headphones that I would put on whenever I needed to focus without interruptions. Sometimes I listened to music or white noise, but at other times I didn't even have anything playing through them. And it worked. It sent a really clear signal that I was deep in concentration and people rarely interrupted me when I wore them.
Thanks, David. And Owen also shared his thoughts about the changing style of office life.
The modern workplace is quietly becoming a sensory battleground. I think more of us are starting to recognise just how differently people experience the same space. What helps one person focus, like noise-cancelling headphones or a calming scent, might completely overwhelm someone else.
Owen describes the sensory battleground of modern work life, and David is a fan of the noise-cancelling headphones. So, Christina, let's talk about noise and the increasing use of headphones in the office. When did they become really popular in the office?
As soon as they become more affordable, I think. Again, like acoustic has been there as number one, source of dissatisfaction in open plan offices for us since we started using these offices. I think everyone can relate to what David is saying here. I have done it myself. It's a very, very strong way of saying, I'm concentrating, I'm doing something, I don't want to be disturbed. And I think it won't, again, it won't go away. And there are different ways you can address from a design perspective, but still, I think there is that, there is another side to this that is not just the ability to signal that you're concentrating, but I think it also creates a bit of a bubble around you because you're introducing music, for example, and then you can actually concentrate. So there is the other side of you are creating a bit of, you know, a wall, set of walls around you or invisible walls. And that really helps people psychologically, you know, to concentrate on what they have to do. So it works both ways, both on the individual, but also to trying to avoid other people to interrupt them. Yeah, of course.
I was quite surprised. There's actually a lot of research about the use of noise cancelling headphones at work. So can you give us a bit of a summary?
Yeah, what I could gather from what I've seen, that like two sides. One is, of course, people trying to understand which type of a headphone would be better. And then, of course, very naturally, questions around, they actually impair your hearing. So, you know, there is a fair bit, of course, it depends on how loud it is and so on and so forth. If you are full blast AC/DC all day, then maybe it'll become an issue. But then there is another side that I found quite interesting and a little bit more, and that is, again, the me versus we clash, is individuals are resorting to that to, of course, address issues in terms of acoustics, particularly the number of interruptions in the workplace. But then how is that affecting the team around that person? Because sometimes, of course, especially if you are in a space that there are no doors, you're going to go there, reach out and say, hey, I have a question, or can you have a look at this report, or can we go and do, you know, something? And then by becoming unavailable, because you have your headphones, there is a fair bit of research trying to understand that, like from an organizational perspective, how that creation of, you know, becoming unavailable, although you are physically available, how that impacts teamwork. And that's been quite interesting to have a look at that. Yeah.
Producer Kate has a story about when she was a manager and most of her team members were wearing headphones, and she found it really hard to manage them, to interact with them. She had to spend a lot of time trying to get their attention, and then it's an imposition. What's your response to that?
Yeah, I think, again, clear rules of engagement, right? Because you can understand the management's perspective here, but you can also understand the worker's perspective. I think, again, what is missing in this conversation is if someone actually needs to concentrate and they're bound to a deadline or a task they have to do, how do they actually being with the, if they do have the option to go elsewhere to perform the work, that would be ideal for both managers and the worker, because you're likely to be sitting in a space performing that activity rather than being in a shared space, which implies that you are kind of available to engage in a social kind of, you know, collaborative activity. So I think, again, rules of engagement, physical environment, making sure people can go elsewhere to perform an activity, being in a different room, I think it would help a lot.
That makes me think of agency, control, autonomy. So how important is this?
It's critical. Every single high-performing workplace that I ever done research in over the last, you know, however many years I've been doing this, they provide people with high-quality spaces that can find a zone that suits the best tasks they have at hand. But it also creates a landscape of offices that are part of this really big office. So we should really start designing this space. And a lot of people actually do that. Organizations invest a lot in high quality accommodation. And one of the things they try to prioritize is this diversity of zones that will cater to some extent, never to the same extent that our homes will ever be able to, but to some extent to your individual preferences. And that is a hallmark of every single high performing office that I have ever seen.
If we don't have the ability to influence our organisation to make a big change to the design, is there anything we can do at that individual or even team level then, Christina?
Continue complaining. I think there is, if the organization is not doing that, they're completely out of the game. Organizations that take that seriously, they actually want to attract and retain. So it's not just about attracting the best talent, but retaining the best talent, particularly after COVID, when we're seeing, again, this increase in expectations. So yes, continue to complain. Our surveys are likely to get some of your complaints in there because it needs to be voiced. It is impacting your health and well-being. If it is impacting your productivity, your employees should care, right?
Let's talk about a few more ways in which we can personalize our work experience. Can you talk about the popularity of animals in the office?
definitely on the rise, for sure. I think particularly post-COVID, what are we seeing through particularly interviews that is coming up as people say, you know, I actually really miss to be around my pets when I'm working at the office. And I mean, again, you can relate to that. Makes perfect sense, right? I think, again, it goes back to that issue of how we can cater for these individual preferences without hurting people's. So there will be the case of people who actually have allergies. Some people are actually super scared for whatever reason. So rules of engagement, can we allocate a zone in the office that will be allowed? Can we have hours? Can we actually discuss? So most important is start with the discussion rather than just saying yes or no without knowing what you're dealing with.
What does the research say about having our fur babies in the office?
Yes, it's all positive. Like it reduces, for those who actually really want to engage, there is a pretty positive stress reduction, I think around 15% mark in some places, and quite positive work morale in general, just because you're introducing something people want to engage with. You know, it's a social gathering opportunity in some instances as well. Yeah.
You mention the me versus we in this, obviously allergies. Mm-mm. And people who are scared of dogs. What do we do there?
You have to manage. You can't, it's like what will be one right over the other one, right? I think you need to, again, have a think about from the office infrastructure that you have and then trying to deal with the space and trying to provide a space that is safe for everyone to engage with. Allergies definitely a front and center to this conversation because how you solve it. So it can be quite challenging. I'm not saying it's easy, but there are safe ways of actually engaging that way.
And now let's go to our clothing because things have changed. We're dressing in a more relaxed fashion. I haven't seen many people going to the lengths of yoga pants and lycra yet, but it may happen in the office. What have you seen in terms of the changes?
I say about time. I think it's, again, it goes back to that idea of what the workplace is. So the idea that the workplace is a space that is just for a certain demographic that will be wearing, you know, tie and jacket. I think that's COVID has really throw that out of the window. So yes, we're seeing throughout day-to-day activities in offices, people dressing more relaxed. Of course, high heels, definitely not in fashion, at least most workplaces. We got completely attached to our sneakers, white sneakers. And I think there is a side of that is not just that, but all the grooming and the preparation to get to work and the time that you spend outside your workplace to make sure you look, you know, work appropriate. I think COVID completely broke that. And I think most of us actually think that it's a positive because, again, it's the amount of free time that we're giving back to the workplace that was never accounted for, but also the amount of money that we invest in, you know, what is considered office proper office attire and what would be your hair, what would be the makeup, what would be this and that. So I think it's a very interesting kind of consequence of a pandemic that I don't think people would think about it before.
Do you think I'm too dressed up today in my ball gown?
I think you look perfect.
And has there been any studies on the impact of clothing in the workplace?
There is a lot of studies around clothing in the workplace, not necessarily from like a dress code perspective. But that being said, dress code has been advocated for many years to try to break down and relax the use of tie and jacket. And that is a very, very effective way of reducing air conditioning use in workplaces. So it's actually better for the environment to not have tie and jacket in the workplace, to the point that some countries like Japan, back a few years ago, they actually launched a national campaign to, I'm not kidding, having people stopping to wear formal office attire to actually increase temperatures in offices to make sure that they meet their sustainability targets. So we're on the money on something like here.
So let's help the managers now, the leaders who need to navigate us through this me versus we tension. What are some tips that you have for managers?
Yes, I think, again, conversation, open line conversation, really set up the ground rules around days that they need to be at the office and the reason why they need to be at the office, and then walk the talk on that in the sense of if you need to be in the office to do certain different activities or specific activities, the workspace better support that. Otherwise, people get frustrated. We need to have managers that can actually relate to a demographic that has experience experienced hybrid work by default for the last 5 years. So it's actually not news to them, and they need to acknowledge that. So I think the difference that we have in terms of workplace experience will be quite varied for a very long period of time.
And final words for me as I personalize the workplace around me?
Put yourself in, you know, shoes of other people around, and if in doubt, ask the question, can I do that? Should I do that? What do you think of that? I think it's just nice, you know, neighborly kind of behavior.
Thank you so much, Christina.
Thank you.
Christina Candido is a Professor of Environmental and Sustainable Design at the University of Melbourne. I'd love to hear more of your stories. How have you personalised your work habits in the office, and how have your colleagues and managers reacted? You can email thisworkinglife@abc.net.au. Next up, an organisational psychologist offers some practical advice. Dr. Amantha Imber is an organisational psychologist, founder of the behavioural science consultancy Inventium, and host of the How I Work podcast. Hello, Amantha.
Hello, Lisa.
So we've been talking about the ways in which people personalise their workspace and their work experience. Now, I think your view is that it's a claiming control issue.
That's right. So one of the things that we know in psychology is that the more control people have, the more choice they have about their workspace and really about anything to do with work, the happier and more motivated and more engaged they are going to be.
And so we've heard, though, that this is a tension because I can do what I want at home, but when I come into the office, I have other people to consider. So what is happening there?
Well, I think what happened during COVID is that we all got used to being able to do whatever we wanted, wear whatever we wanted, have whatever sensory experience we wanted in our little home office setup. And then when we got back to the workplace, we just brought all those personal preferences with us. And we need to remember that we work with other people who might not love the personal choices that we've made. So there is a balance between certainly managers giving their teams as much control as possible, but also just being respectful and being a decent human being, thinking about those that we work with.
Amantha, at the start of the show, we aired a clip sent to us by listener Rosie, who used a scented air purifier. How can she navigate this conflict with her workmate?
Well, I think it's always good to bring it back to, you know, what's the situation and what's the impact that it's having? And, you know, Rosie can share her experience. But I think what's really important is that she gets curious about the other person's experience. You know, you don't want to downplay or discount what is happening for someone else.
We also aired David's experience with noise-cancelling headphones. What are your thoughts on headphones, Amantha?
Oh, I'm so supportive of headphones at work. I think that the office, particularly open plan offices, are such a hard environment to get deep focused work done. And particularly because a lot of people work hybrid and they're not seeing their coworkers every day. Generally, when we are in the office, they're very social days and they're full of interruptions. And most people feel like they have permission to interrupt anyone whenever they want. So I do love headphones for sending that signal that you are in the deep work zone, you need to concentrate. So maybe think twice about interrupting me right now. But equally, I think there's a need to balance that with having some non-headphone time, because one of the benefits of being in an office and with all your coworkers is the socialization and the collaboration and those, you know, unexpected conversations that tend to happen when we're all co-located in the same environment.
And Amantha, what's your advice to me if I would like to have mood lighting, some aromatherapy and pink fluffy cushions to make myself way more productive at work, and I want to have that conversation with my manager who isn't supportive of my need to personalise my workstation?
Oh, I mean, like, that just sounds like a delightful environment that you're about to set up there, Lisa. I would have that conversation around why this is important to you. I would think about How is that mood lighting going to affect other people around you? Maybe it will, depending on your setup, Lisa. Maybe it won't. And seeing if there's perhaps a happy medium.
Thank you so much, Amantha. Thanks, Amantha.
Thanks, Lisa.
Dr. Amantha Imber is an organisational psychologist, founder of the behavioural science consultancy Inventium, and host of the How I Work podcast. I'd love to hear more of your stories. How have you personalised your work habits in the office, and how have your colleagues and managers reacted? Email thisworkinglife@abc.net.au. Thanks for listening to This Working Life with me, Lisa Leong. If you haven't already, search for This Working Life on the ABC Listen app. Tap the heart to follow all of our stories. This episode was produced by Kate Ubergang and engineered by Kerry Dell and Marcus Hobbs. We're on the lands of the Wurundjeri people in Nam, Melbourne. Until next time, love your work.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.